Thank you, Lois. If you got your Bibles, wave them at me if you got a Bible. Turn it. I hope you have the right one. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians 13. I want to say again to those that are listening by way of live stream right now, push the share button. And you that are in the auditorium, when you go out of the service today, share it. If you've got social media, share the service today. I know what I'm preaching. Every saved person in America needs to hear what I'm preaching. And every lost person in America needs to hear what I'm preaching today. It's a stirring sermon. I won't lie to you today. I've listened to it three times. I got the first study, and then I got Brother Westfall there. I wrote my notes. I'm getting so bad, I can't even read my own writing after about 3 days. So Brother Westfall put it on PowerPoint for me and put it on an outline where I can read his type. So, and now I'm going to get the third time. And I want to help you today. Do pray for the church. Good crowd today, considering the folks that are battling this virus, battling sickness. I want to name a bunch of folks, especially Jerry Wheeler. Pray for her. She's very ill. But I want to look over here to the left. Will you stand? You mind standing, Mallory? I know you've been through a lot. Mallory Westfall's here today. Somebody give God a hand. Amen. Thank God. We got two Tumblr families ill today. We have several other, the Sayre family, the Burks family. And if I start naming all of them, I won't get all of them. And, but there's a lot of them. Get your Bible and stand with me to 2 Corinthians 13. And I've got something I want you to hear. And here's what I want you to do. Teenagers, mom, dad, every person in this room, will you do this? When I start preaching, I want you to really settle yourself and listen to what I say and evaluate yourself. I'll evaluate myself. I just want you to do that. I don't want you. I'm almost reluctant to end the service to do this, to say, if you die today, how many of you know you're going to heaven? Because here's what it is. You've got yourself programmed to get ready for hearing that at the end of the sermon. And you're so programmed about it. Whether you are saved or not, you're programmed. Well, yeah, I'm going to raise my hand and make sure he sees my hand. We're programmed like that. So please, please today, if you've ever listened to your preacher before, you listen to him now. And I think I'll help you. I'm going to try to do it in a good spirit, not be harsh, but be like Paul did in this passage. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. This is the third time, verse 1, I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. You know what kind of generation we're in? We're in a generation that wants preachers to spare. They just don't want them to tell it like it is anymore. Somebody help me preach. You all thank God you got a pastor. Whether you always like it or not, I tell it like it is. And I'm not going to spare myself, and I'm not going to spare you this morning. And Paul told them, I'm not going to spare. But when somebody says that, I kind of put my brakes on and said, Lord God, what's coming? Now look, verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking of me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. We got a risen Savior. Amen. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now here's the message. Here's where I'm going to meet it in a moment. Examine yourselves. Now, notice this. It didn't say, Brother Ryan, for me to examine you. Right? Somebody say, right? No, say, examine yourself. Teenager, examine yourself. Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, examine yourself. Whether, here's what he says, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, you say, well, I don't need to prove if I'm saved. Well, wait a minute. He just said you do. How many got that? He said, examine yourself. Then he said, prove yourself. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Know you not your own selves. Don't you know how that Jesus is in you except you be reprobates. Father, thank you for this great passage of Scripture. Help me as this pastor directing this church in the moment that we're in right now in this nation to not spare, come with compassion, come with discernment, come with a desire that everybody, when they walk out, knows for sure they're saved, knows for sure they're spiritual, and knows for sure where they stand in their stewardship. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to get your Bible and just follow me for a moment. I may jump off to a lot of scripture and you may say, I can't follow you. Well, you may get there. Just listen to me when I'm jumping from verse to verse. But first of all, I'm going to deal with these verses to give you two or three thoughts. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number one, the coming of Paul. The coming of Paul. The chronology. I got it, didn't I? The chronology of his coming. This is the third time that Paul is coming. First time he came in Acts chapter number 18, he established the church. The second time he came right before this letter. And now he's coming a third time in letter, but he's not going to be present with them. How many got that context? Then notice the character of his coming. Here's how he's coming. Look at verse 2 and 3, or verse 1. He said, I'm coming in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He said, I'm coming scriptural. Somebody help me preach. Paul said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to examine you, you're going to examine you, and it's going to be a scriptural examination. It doesn't matter how you measure up to the world. It doesn't even matter how you measure up to another Christian in this church. How do you measure up to the Word of God? Somebody help me preach. Then notice, not only the coming will be scriptural, but the coming will be stern. He said, I'm not going to spare. You know, here's what's happening in America. Here's what's happening. We want too much Joel Osteen things. You know, he's got a thing out now. How many saw an advertisement of it? Where you can get this thing and push a button and it'll give you a good little sweet, fluffy thought. You're good. Well, that sounds good, but we ain't good. We're wicked. If you give all your money and give everything you've got, you'll have more than you ever had before. And you won't be sick. You won't be hurting. You're just going to be healthy and wealthy and wise. How many believe that's a bunch of junk? And ain't one ounce of reality to it. And you can pump your brain with all these little isms all day long. But you're not going to feel better until you get better. Amen. Then I want you to notice in verse 3, 4, and 6, the confirming of the believers. Now, I'm going to hurry through this because I got somewhere I'm going. And I want to get there quickly. I see the confirming of the believers in verse 3, 4, and 6. the confirming of a calling. First of all, in verse 3, Paul said, you're going to criticize me at my coming. You know what is easy to do? And you might do it after I preach a sermon today. It will be easy for you to ignore the message, but shoot the messenger. Oh, if I don't like it, I'm shooting John Smith. I'm coming after the preacher. If I don't like what he dishes out today, instead of me receiving it, instead of me asking God to help me in it, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll shoot the messenger. I'll down him so I don't look so bad. Am I preaching? And then the comparison of the call. Hey, he compared his call to the call of the Lord Jesus. Ain't much higher call. Ain't much higher comparison. The one that died on the cross. The one that rose the third day. The one that lived a perfect life from the cradle to the grave. Paul said, I'm comparing myself with that. And then he said the conclusion of his confirming verse 6. But I trust that ye shall know that we're not reprobates. The word means disapproved. And I'll go more about the word in a moment. Rejected or abandoned. He said, I'm not a reprobate. I'm God's man. I've been approved by God. But here's the message. The confirming of conversion. Look at verse 5 one more time. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you. Not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, that word jumped out at me. The word examine yourself. I looked at Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is my favorite. Amen. And here's what he said. It means to inspect carefully the full state of things. It means to search and inquire the facts. It means to look into the state of a subject to view all aspects. It means to try by rule of law. And it means, in general, to search and to scrutinize. Here's what I'm preaching on this morning. You all relate to this. I'm going to ask how many of you have got to do this. I want to preach this morning on this subject. It is time to take inventory. Any of you caught up in inventory? Any of you have to do it? None of you? God bless. Well, you do. Most of you businessmen do. You're going to have inventory. You probably start at the end of the year and you're going to go on. You say, well, Preacher Smith, what? By the way, I'm doing inventory Tuesday or Monday. I'm going to do it with Chad Eastep and I'm going to do it with Michael Hayes. They promised. That is to put all my, recognize all my books and put them all in order. My staff's laughing. You're not, because you ain't been into my library. I got thousands of books. Now, let me say this before I get into the message. I want you to hear it clearly. And you folks that's taking inventory, maybe you do it a little differently. But I went to the Apostle Jared Green to find out how he does it. And here's what he told me. And if it's bad and wrong, get him at your service. Here's what you do when you take inventory. Are y'all listening? First of all, you get a list of what you're supposed to have. How many believe when you got saved, you ought to be some kind of way? You got to get a list of what you're supposed to have. Then secondly, find and see what you have. Now, I've got a real problem. I've already broke rule one because I have no clue what I'm supposed to have. And three, count and see if it all adds up. Four, see if it matches or doesn't match. I mean, if I've got some Benny Hinn books in there, I think I'm going to get rid of them. And if somebody snuck some Joel Osteen stuff and traded for some of my great works, I'm going to beat them over the head and throw them away. And then fifthly, you find the things you didn't know you had. Oh, I was looking up the other day in my books. And I've been looking for some book, and it's out of print. And I was so upset it was out of print. Well, I went through the maze, and guess what? I had something I didn't know I had. And that works positively and negatively. You may have some things in your life that's positive, but also you may have some things negative. And here's what you might have to do in your inventory. You may have to scrap a bunch of stuff and write a bunch of stuff off. Now let me ask you a question of you that take inventory in your business. Is this good advice or bad advice? Listen, I'm taking inventory at the end of the year. How many of you agree with me? It would be a good idea for me to do some random checks during the year, so I have the right stuff at the end of the year. You know what I say, Christian? There's a lot of you that look at me right now. You know why you might be in the mess you're in right now? It's because you ain't took no random checks. You've let this whole year go by. You're starting a new year unchecked, unverified, and you have no clue what's going on. Amen. Am I preaching? Now I'm going to give you three things and I'll be done. We're going to take inventory. I'm not going to preach everything in the Christian life. I'm only going to preach three things. Number one. Now, I'll tell you what I promised myself. I promised myself not to get too loud, not too carried away, and not too rambunctious, because I know you're going to take this a little hard once you start getting it. Hello. Number one. First of all, we're going to apply everything I've said so far and take inventory, number one, of the most important thing you need to take inventory of. Are you saved? Look what he said. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove you. Hey, how many of you got enough proof that you can prove you're saved? Ain't enough for you to tell me you're saved. Then you act like a devil 6 days a week. No, you've got to prove you're saved. You've got to have a list of things that every Christian ought to have. And I'm going to name them. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have them, you need to get up here and get saved. I don't care if you're a church member of every church in America. Church members are dying and going to hell because they ain't got the real deal. Oh, yes, I'm preaching. Now, let's go over it. Now, you may need just to write the note down because I know you're not going to be able to keep up with me. All right? I'm taking the inventory, Brother O'Brien, Brother Mattis. Then what am I supposed to have if I know I'm saved? Look at me, teenager. Look at me, mom and dad. What am I supposed? What are you supposed to have to know you're saved? Well, let's go over it. First of all, you got to have a scriptural salvation. Somebody help me preach. These things are written unto you that you might believe on the name of the Son of God and that you might know you have eternal life. I want you to know something. Listen to me. If you're evaluating your salvation upon your baptism, upon your church membership, upon you used to be, thought you had something, I want you to know something. That's not going to add up. There's only one thing that can add up. Is one day in your life you fell under Holy Ghost conviction. And God showed you that you were lost. You repented of your sins and by faith trusted the gospel. And you got saved. Now, if you didn't, and you're in this room, and you really doubt it if you are, because you don't live like one. You know what y'all do? Y'all just, I don't care if you profess it 25 times, but if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. No, that's not all. Secondly, How am I going to prove myself? Number two, not only is it a scriptural salvation. Number two, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Bible said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want all y'all to know, when I got saved, Holy Ghost came in me. He's in me now. And I want to ask you something. If the Holy Ghost is God and He is, how in the world can He be in your life and you not know He's there? Somebody help me. He's too big to be in your life and you not know about it. He seals you to the day of redemption. He's the one that guides you, comforts you, leads you. And you ought to know He's there. If He ain't there, you ain't saved. Now I'm going to go on. I want you to be honest with me. Number three. You say, well, if I don't have the Holy Spirit, you're lost. Number three. You've had to have a change. Are you a changed teenager? Are you a changed mom? Are you a changed dad? Hey, do you have all the sin in your life and you've never been changed? Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's what? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We don't preach that much. Because this is what, in reality, what's happening in a lot of our churches. We have easy believism. We have conversion without any conviction. We have conversion without any godly sorrow. Have you ever really saw yourself a sinner and saw how repulsive you were and repented, and the result is you change? Are you a changed teenager? Are you a changed mom and dad? Or are you just living like you always live? I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to upset you. You're lost. You said, but my name's on y'all's book. You're still lost. You ought to admit it so we can take you off the book, get you saved, and put you back on. I ain't fooling around this morning. This ain't something to laugh about. This is no joking matter. Oh, I'm not done. If you haven't been changed, you need to come down here and get saved. And I promise you, if you ever get saved, you'll be changed.
Amen.
Fourthly, you have to keep His commandments. Bible said, and hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Verse 5 said, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now, what's that? Now, ain't nobody perfect here. But let's just be honest about it. Do you follow this book? Have your life been changed? Now your whole life's revolved around this book? It revolved around how it says to live, and you're keeping the commandments? You're following the word of God? Or are you wayward? You say, why am I in pornography? Because you ain't watching the book. Why do I do drugs? Because you ain't in the book. Why have I experimented with lesbianism and homosexuality and pornography and alcohol and a social drink and I'm a mess? Because you're not living by this book.
Amen.
And instead of getting puffed up, y'all say, oh God, I'm lost. I need to be saved.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. The day I got saved, I got a desire for God's word and to live right. I'm not living right to be saved, but I'm living right because I am saved. And this ain't preached much. Somebody help me. Am I doing all right? Oh, here's the biggie. Now I want you to be, look at me. Look at me. If you notice, I'm being very careful and calculating every word I say. Number. Or F, are you being chastened? Here's what I mean. I have children. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I raised my children, if it was today, they done put me up for child abuse. I'd done be in chains. I'm just being honest with you. The way people raise their kids today, no discipline, no chastisement. I want you to know that's abnormal. And that's not right.
Amen.
Now listen to this. I want to tell you why I know I'm saved. How about you? If you endure chastening, God deal with you. This is Hebrews 12:7, as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then you, listen to this strong word, and it's in the Bible, so I'm going to say it. Then you are bastards and not sons. Or in other words, you're illegitimate. You're not really a child of God. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Now here's what happened when I got saved. God has the Holy Spirit in me. Here's the mechanism. Usually, if you're a Christian that is with it, only chastise you would be like my dad done, just say a word and I repented. So really, you ought to just have in your mind you get right. But here's what has to happen sometimes. You know, sometimes God's got to hit you over the head with a brick to get your attention. By the way, if he ain't doing it, you're not saved. Here's what I ask you. I want to ask every one of you. When you sin, and you do, does God chasten you? Oh, wait a minute. And are you corrected? Or you just keep doing what you always done? You're living as a teenager, just lost as a goose at the school. You have no testimony. You're living mom and dad, living no testimony. You never get chastened. And you never feel bad over something you do. I don't want to be harsh. You're just not saved. You're just illegitimate. You really are. And it's sad that you're going to die and go to hell from a church. Amen, preacher. Some of you lost today hearing me preach. The worst thing you can do is leave out here when I preach on salvation and die and go to hell from church. Am I all right? Now, I'm not going to. Here's what he said. Look at the verse again. This is such a sobering verse. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know your own self. How that Jesus Christ in you, except you be a reprobate. What's a reprobate? A reprobate, the word means disapproved. What it means is you're not fit for heaven. Number two, it means rejected. Here's what it means. There'll be a lot of people say, Lord, Lord. But he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. He'll reject you. And then means abandoned. Abandon you in hell. And you'll be lost forever. You mean you tell me, preacher, I'm not that bad of a person. I go to church, I even pay my tithe. But I ain't asking that. Are you saved? Have you been changed? Do you know you are? Don't leave here and not know. How many agree with me? It's time to take an inspection. Now, number two. I don't know if I'll get to three. I just may end up in two. It's all right. We need to take an inventory of whether we're saved or not. Have you? Ask yourself, can I prove it? Am I changed? Ask yourself. Prove it. It's yours to prove, not me. I got to prove my own self. Number two. We need an inventory of our spirituality. Okay. We're saved. We got that. Right. Now, the question is, are you a spiritual Christian? Or are you a carnal Christian? And by the way, there's a list. I'm going to read the list to you. Can I? Is it okay? Here's the list. If you're spiritual, you have this. If you don't have it, you're not spiritual. And I don't. Spirituality don't mean the guy in the church that shouts. I know some people shout. That's wicked as a devil. It don't mean how much emotion you show, how many tears you shed. That's not a measure of spirituality. Oh, I know a lot of preachers, all they can do is shout, blow a lot of wind, but don't give nothing. And they live off of that emotion of shouting. Hey, Christianity's more than a shout. Here it is. Let me show you if you're spiritual. Here's how you know the Spirit of God's working in your life. Here's what you have. But to prove the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love. Let me ask you, do you love your neighbor? Do you love Christians? Or do you have bitterness and unforgiveness in you and a grudge in you and you're not loving? If you're not loving, you are carnal. And then joy. How much joy you got? And by the way, I'm about ready to shout here. I don't have to get a high by sticking heroin in my arm, by smoking a marijuana joint, by drinking social drinking. I don't need that. That's not my high. Oh, that'll give you hangovers and heartaches. I want to tell you, when I got saved, I got something that made me high. You said, what's joy? Oh, I'm going to tell you what joy is. It's Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. You got it? Amen. Then peace. Why is it you're worried about everything and you don't have any peace? Spiritual Christians have peace. Spiritual Christians have long suffering, long patience. How big's your fuse? Come on now. How long's your fuse? Or you just blow up over nothing. You're not long suffering. Spirit of God, how many glad God's long suffering? Goodness, gentleness. You need to have a gentle spirit. You need to be good. Faith. How much faith you got? You say I ain't got none. You ain't a spiritual Christian. Meekness. This last one really bugs me. Temperance. Self-control. Now, hey, Chloe, that's the list. And you can go ahead and say whatever you want to say. If that isn't your list, and you're not living those things I just read, you're not spiritual. I don't care what your neighbor, I don't care if somebody, everybody in church thinks you're one of the high ones in the church and you're the spiritual one and you're a pillar. No, you're not a pillar. You're weak. You know what? We measure if people spiritual on how loud they are. We ought to measure it by love, peace, joy, and long suffering. Somebody help me preach. See, preacher, you're loud. Yeah, I am loud. And I can be loud and be spiritual, but I also can be loud and be carnal. Yeah, I'm a loud kind of guy. But that don't mean I'm spiritual or carnal. It just means I'm loud. Now, if it's pointed toward Christ, it's a good thing. And enthusiasm's wonderful. Number two, carnality. What's that? Now listen carefully. Now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Hey, is there some of you in the room cheating on your husband, cheating on your wife? You're committing adultery. That's carnality. Fornication. Fornication is all sexual sin. Heterosexual, lesbianism, homosexual. Everything. Uncleanness, emulations, wrath, you're angry, strife, you cause trouble, seditions, heresies, you believe a lie, envyings, listen to this, murders. Now you say I ain't never shot nobody. Well, do you know if you hate your brother, you murder your brother? Drunkenness. Oh, I'm going to tell you. I might as well, I'm going to just tell every one of you right now. Don't want to make nobody mad. God does not believe in social drinking. God don't believe in any alcohol in your system. And if you are a social drinker, if you drink a lot, I am telling you, you're either carnal or lost. I had that problem before I got saved, but I want you to know salvation cured it. Somebody help me. Pretty straight stuff, isn't it? I'll give you one more just, and I'm done. I won't do this one justice. Now you got to inventory your stewardship. Moreover, it is a cry of a steward that if man be called or found faithful. You're either a wicked steward, a wicked servant or a good servant. Let me explain. I don't have time to read it. I got my notes. Remember the parable of the nobleman that gave everybody a pound? How many remember that story in the Bible? By the way, every one of you in this room has a pound for your service. Everyone. He came back and here's what happened. Here's what happened. One guy invested in stock market, the bank, and went from 1 pound to 10 pounds. Woo! Good to invest wisely. The next guy went, took his 1 pound and went to 5 pounds. Good. He invested wisely. But the last guy, took his pound and put it in a napkin. And when the Lord came back, he said, "Where's your pound? What have you done with it? I thought you was tough, God. And by the way, noble picture of God, I thought you was too tough. So I was scared. So I just put in a napkin and I didn't want to lose it." Every one of you been given pounds. Stewardship. What are you doing with it? And you know what happened? You may think this is bad. Here's what the nobleman learned. He took that pound that was hidden in the napkin and gave it to the guy that had 10 pounds. You said, why did he do that? Because he knows the guy with 10 pounds will do something with it. How many of you, God has put you into a place and given you talent and given you the ability to do something, and all you've done over the years is hid it in a napkin? And when he comes back, what you have will be taken from you. That's not salvation. And given it to the person that did the most. How many of y'all think that's kind of startling? I do. All right. You've heard a lot of preaching. I'm done. Live stream, don't turn me off. It's time to take inventory. You on live stream, listen. Every one of you in this room, bow your head. Live stream people, people in the auditorium, based upon what you're supposed to have to be saved, what you're supposed to have. My question is, do you have it? How many of you know you've got scriptural salvation? How many of you know you've got the Holy Spirit? How many know you've got to change? Now I want to ask, if you die today, how many in this room and online know for sure you go to heaven? Raise your hand. Don't raise them if you don't know. Because God knows if you are or not. Thank you. How many of you couldn't raise your hand? How many of you doubt your salvation? And you're just not sure at all. I mean, you're trying to raise your hand, but you're not sure. And you don't want to die and go to hell. How many of you right now is not sure, but you want to be sure? Raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. Pray for me." Raise them up. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Come here right now. You had some kind of profession of faith in the past, but you don't know for sure you're saved. because it don't add up. Slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I see that hand. Somebody else. I see that hand. Come on now. Now I ask you a question. Based upon the scripture in Galatians, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to, how many of you know that you're really not spiritual? That you've got some carnality about you. And you're not spiritual. Not lining up with what was read to you. How many know you're saved, but you're not spiritual? You need to get a checkup today. And you need to get your life right. Raise your hand. Come on now. Yes. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Come on now. Come on. You mean to tell me everybody in this room is spiritual? Every one of us at the foot of the cross. How many of you know for sure you're not really where you used to be? You used to be closer to God than you are now. How many raise your hand and say, I know that? Come on. Here's what I want you to do. Every lost person, every person without and without doubt, every person that wants to be spiritual, I want you to come up at this altar. I want you all to quietly stand. I would like for you not, and you on live stream, don't turn me up. Right now, drop the cup, get rid of the coffee, get rid of the snacks. Are you saved? And not confess Christ and repent of your sins and trust Him. And if you're not, ask God to forgive you of your carnality. It's time to take inventory. Father, I pray to God, every person in this room that's not right would get right this morning. No, man, don't let them worry about what their neighbor thinks. God help them in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. You come.